Welcome to Bouncing Forward. I'm Amy Purdy. I believe that our challenges give us the opportunity to live an even greater life with more meaning and purpose. Through my own experience of losing my legs at 19 years old and going on to become a professional athlete, New York Times bestselling author, and world-renowned motivational speaker, I've learned that overcoming our obstacles has nothing to do with bouncing back. It has everything to do with bouncing forward. That's why, on this podcast, I'm sharing stories of resilience, setbacks, and remarkable comebacks. Your journey to bouncing forward starts here. Welcome back to another episode of Bouncing Forward. You guys, I'm really excited about this episode. This is where I'm answering your juiciest questions. And I'm kind of joking there because I actually wish you would have asked me more juicy questions on Instagram the other day. I mentioned that I'm going to be doing a Q&A and to send your questions in. I got a lot of questions, but I'll tell you, I was hoping that there would be a little bit more, I don't know, just off the wall, juicier questions. And this is why I was really excited to do this, because I feel like by doing a Q&A, it helps me to get to know you better, and it helps you get to know me better as well. And so keep this in mind for the next Q&A. You can ask me anything. Ask me anything. I'm excited to kind of go in and dig in deeper with you guys. So don't be scared to ask me off-the-wall questions. I like them. Okay, so let's dive into this episode of Bouncing Forward. I wish you could see where I'm sitting right now. I am in our condo in Denver. I am sitting in the corner of my room with pillows all around me, so there's no echo. And instead of talking into my podcast mic, I'm actually talking into the microphone of my phone because I left my computer battery in the mountains, and I needed it to record this podcast episode. And I was like, I'm determined to do this. And I don't know what other podcasters do. I picture them being so put together, but I am not one of them. I am going back and forth from a house in the mountains to a condo down in Denver. I get up to the mountains, I forget my microphone. I get down to Denver, I forget my computer charger, and I'm left with my iPhone. So if the sound sounds a little bit different than usual, it's because I'm sitting in the corner of my room surrounded by pillows talking in my iPhone right now. But if there's a will, there's a way. So here we are. Okay, so the first question, I actually had quite a few people ask me this question, but I'll mention dbeer6 on Instagram is who asked this, as well as Laurel Foreman. She asked this question as well, which is, your skin looks really great. Do you have any facial treatments that you've done recently that you want to share with us? Okay, so many of you know I am obsessed with skincare. I really am. I went to school to be an esthetician. I used to do makeup. I used to work at spas. I worked at the Beverly Hills Hilton as an esthetician. I worked at Canyon Ranch, which was a world-class spa, as an esthetician as well. I love skincare. I love skincare so much that before I became a motivational speaker, I thought that I would open up my own spa, my own skincare spa. And that's still something that I'm really interested in doing in the future. And also, as I'm getting older, I'm really focused on my skin as well. And I think it's really sweet that you guys are telling me I have good skin. Let me just tell you a few very, very simple secrets that we can all do. The first one, look, I am not against Instagram filters. I am not, because I'll tell you, there's a lot of days that I wake up and I don't want to do my makeup and I'm kind of a mess and I've got circles under my eyes. But I want to share something on Instagram. And in the past, before filters, I would go to the bathroom, do my makeup, try to like look nice, you know, try to find the right lighting. And it just took me away from actually being able to be in the moment. And so when filters came around, I don't like the filters that make you have big lips and change the shape of your nose and all of that stuff. I don't believe in those filters as far as, you know, trying to pretend like that's what I look like. But what I do like, there's some filters on Instagram that just make your skin a little bit smoother and take the shadows away so that you can kind of wake up and jump on Instagram and share a story and not feel so self-conscious about the way that you look. So that is probably one reason why you think my skin looks good. But another reason is I do pay a lot of attention to my skincare. And one really important thing that I've used for many, many years is Retin A. So Retin A is known as one of the only, if not the only product that really does change the structure of your skin. So as you age, your skin gets kind of crepey and wrinkly because the cells are no longer perfectly stacked on top of each other and full of nutrients and all the stuff when you're young. And so your skin gets crepey. But when you do Retin A, it actually helps your cells align on top of each other again, and it gets rid of those light wrinkles and crepiness. People who do Retin A for years and years and years have absolutely gorgeous skin. It's something that you usually have to get by prescription from your dermatologist, and so I use that on a regular basis. I also have done some skincare procedures recently. One of them, if you saw on my Insta story, about 2 months ago, I did something called fibroblasting. It's hard to explain. It's like you get these little holes. It sounds really bad. It sounds worse than it really is, I think. But you get these holes burned into your skin, and they're really tiny holes. And then it heals right there, and it forces collagen and elastin to produce right there in that area. And so I had a little bit of that done. I tried it for the first time. I have a big scar on my cheek that I've always kind of worked on. I got it when I got meningitis. So we put just a little bit of that fibroblastin in the scar in my cheek, and it actually shrunk the scar. It is amazing. We did a little bit on my forehead, but not very much. So I can't say I really noticed much of a difference on my forehead. But something I also did just last month is something called microneedling RF. So microneedling is really good for your skin because, once again, it kind of creates these micro injuries that then forces your skin to create new collagen and plumps your skin up, and it makes your skin fresh and healthy. So multiple treatments, like if you just get on a good schedule of doing a microneedling session every couple months, it helps your skin look better. It fights kind of the signs of aging. And it's almost like a workout for the skin. But there's now something called microneedling RF, which is microneedling with radio frequency. And it's where the needles go into your skin, and then there's this kind of heated radio frequency component that happens when the needles hit the dermal layer. And that is supposed to boost collagen that much more. I will say it hurts like a bitch. It hurts worse than anything I've ever, ever, ever done. You're awake for it. You can take something if you want. It was so painful. It doesn't look that bad. I mean, I was bright red afterwards, but after a few days, it started to, you know, go away. My skin got pink, and then I couldn't really tell that anything had been done. And I was thinking, okay, you know, I just spent money on this and put myself through a world of pain, and I don't notice a difference. But then, about 3 weeks into it, I started to notice the texture of my skin just being firmer and looking fresher. And I have scarring on my cheeks that you probably don't see often on Instagram, but it's there, and it's from when I had meningitis. And I think that's also why I'm obsessed with skincare, is my skin isn't perfect. It's not perfect at all. If you saw me in real life, you would see kind of this acne scarring on my face, which isn't really acne scarring. It's from when I had meningitis. There's parts of my skin that actually kind of died. And so for many years, I've been focused on trying to get my skin better. I also, there's a whole episode I want to do on this, but I don't do fillers or Botox. And that's a little bit hard when you're my age. I'm 41, and it's not that I don't want to age or see aging, but I have some spots, like the lines right between my brows, that really make me insecure, really insecure. And if I was able to do Botox, to be honest, I would. I would just do it right there, knock it out, and I can't. So I'm constantly on a mission trying to figure out how to tighten my skin, make it the best I possibly can, without injecting toxins and all of this stuff. So if you are interested in the skincare journey, let me know, because I'm on a mission too. I am on a mission to do the best thing for my body and to look good and feel good. When we look good, we show up as our best self. It is so important to like what you see in the mirror. You have to love what you see inside. You have to love who you are, but it's also really important to take care of ourselves in a way that make us feel confident and help us show up as our best self in the world. And so that's where skincare is really important to me. I would love to hear if skincare is something you're interested in as well, and if you want me to share more of that. Okay, so that was a very long answer to your question. The next question is from my friend, I'm Tiffany Yu. She's amazing. If you don't follow her, you should. And she asked, have you ever had a moment where you were in pain and grief and thought you couldn't get through it? And how did you make it through? Yes, I did have a moment like that just recently. In fact, I did a podcast episode about that and what helped me get through it. A couple months ago, when this last surgery on my leg failed, I was devastated. I wasn't sure if I was going to lose my leg. My leg was hurting. It was uncomfortable. My artery completely collapsed. Zero blood is getting down my leg. That is crazy. And it's terrifying. And I had basically told my doctors, I'm giving myself 6 months. And if my leg doesn't figure itself out, then we're going to amputate it. At least we're going to amputate it a little bit higher to where there is better blood flow, because I do not want to lay in bed and not live my life just so I can save my leg. Like, I don't want to be in pain. And I was in pain and I didn't want to live that way. I was starting to feel really, really depressed about it, because on top of that, you know, everything I've gone through over the last 2 years of surgeries, I haven't taken care of my skin as much as I wanted. I haven't worked out as much as I feel like I should. I mean, I'm an athlete. I went from training every day to just survival mode. And I look in the mirror and I'm not joking when I say, like, my butt is like 2 inches lower than it's ever been. I have no muscle in my legs, and yet I've got more, you know, fat on my body than I've ever had. And this is just kind of the superficial stuff, but this is like looking in the mirror and what I'm seeing, like, that's changing. And then my husband and I were kind of arguing, and then he hurt his back, and that made him not show up as his best self. I wasn't showing up as my best self. It just felt like, oh my gosh, like, everything is going wrong. And I found myself really being crushed under this pile of despair, all the things I didn't have control of. And I just kept piling more things on top of myself. Like, I'm not eating good, and I'm not reading books like I want to, and I'm not even promoting the podcast like I should. Like, I'm failing everywhere. That's how I was feeling. And I was feeling deep depression and deep grief, really deep grief. I know what it feels like to feel like you can't continue on. What helped me, I talked about this in the last podcast episode actually, is number one, gratitude. Forcing myself to focus on not all the things that are going wrong, but focusing on all the things that are going right. What is going right in my life, and how can I build on that? I have my family. Thank God for that. It's beautiful outside. Thank God for that. I've got my dog who loves me. He makes me so happy. Thank God for that. My husband and I cook dinner together. I'm so grateful for that. I am healthy. I've been through a lot, but I am healthy. Oh my gosh, my body has done so much for me. Thank goodness for that. It's really focusing on all the things that make you feel good. It's very easy to focus on all the things that make us feel bad and to kind of start to stack all those negative things on top of one another, and then you get crushed under it. Or you can consciously decide to stack all the positive things on top of each other, and then that actually builds you up. And so I would say, if you are in a moment of major despair and depression and you don't know how you're going to get through it, I really think the first step is just take a minute to step outside of the situation you're in, just even mentally, just change your perspective for 1 second to focus on all the amazing things you have to be grateful for, because that will change the way you see the world. It changes the lens in which you see the world, and things become a little bit more positive when you are filling your soul and your heart with more positive feelings and thoughts, right? So that's one thing. But also, and I hate to keep throwing back to past episodes, but another thing in an episode that I did a few weeks ago was I created this diagram. If you go to my Instagram, you can download the diagram. Just go to the bio in my Instagram, and it's called the Bouncing Forward Diagram. And the reason I drew this thing up is it helped me when I was in the depths of despair. And when I was realizing that all these things were going wrong in my life, I felt totally out of control, and I needed to feel in control again. And so I wrote down, okay, well, what are the important things that I feel out of control of right now? And what are the most important things of my life? And I wrote down 6 things in my life, which I think we all pretty much have the same, at least 5 of these things. These are like the pillars of our life. These are the things that are the foundation of our life and keep our life moving forward. So the first one is movement. Right? We need to move our bodies. There's a million reasons why we need to work out and move our bodies. If you can't work out like you used to, or for me, if I can't work out like I used to, then you can stretch, you can do yoga, you can swim, whatever you can do, do that. Movement is key to our happiness and to our wellness and to our health. So movement is one of them. Nutrition's one of them. We need to eat well. When we don't eat well, we don't feel well. We need to eat well. So nutrition is another one. Relationships are key in our life. Our relationships are so important. We're social animals. We need to have strong relationships. And as I mentioned, my husband and I weren't doing our best because we were going through injury. And so I realized I was failing there too in relationships. So if you go to this Bouncing Forward diagram, I write out these 5 different pillars. The 6th pillar is up to you, what's important in your life. For me, I put skincare and beauty. We're already talking about that. That's really important to me. And it was something that I felt like I wasn't on top of. And so I wrote these pillars out, and I visualized this wheel. And if you think about a wheel and you think about the spokes of a wheel, if one of those spokes is broken, your wheel's going to be wobbly. Well, if you imagine each one of these pillars as a spoke, and some spokes might be really strong, like you're working out every day, but other spokes are not as strong, like your relationships are failing or you're not nurturing them, then this wheel's going to be wobbly. So the idea is to build the foundation of our life with the things that are most important to us. And then we can move forward, right? When we're addressing the things that are most important to us and we feel good about them, that builds confidence and we can move forward. And so what I did, you'll see it on this diagram, is next to each one of these spokes, I put goal 1 and goal 2. The first goal is, what can you do in that area? Let's say in the area of relationships. What can you do there right now? This very second that can move you towards your goal, that can move you towards making it a healthier part of your life. So for me, under relationships, I can have date night with my husband tonight. And I booked a restaurant right then, and that's what I did. Goal 2 is something that you can do in the near future. So you're not doing it right now, but you're also not doing it a year from now. What is something you can do in the near future? And for me, it was, well, you know, we could go to therapy and we can learn some new tools so that we can help each other through these challenging times. So that's something that I booked. And I went through this whole wheel of all the things that were important to me, nutrition, health, movement, all the stuff, spirituality. And I was able to knock out all of my goal 1s in 20 minutes. Like, what can I do right now that helps me move towards my goal? I knocked all those out. And then I started working on the 2nd goals. And I already felt empowered. I went from being completely disempowered, feeling overwhelmed with despair, with everything going wrong, to suddenly feeling in control again and feeling empowered and actually feeling confident. Like, oh, I got this. I'm okay. It just takes a little bit of effort to make sure that your wheel is balanced, and then you can move forward and you've got this healthy foundation. So I highly recommend, if you are in a spot of despair right now or overwhelm, download this bouncing forward diagram. You can get it on my Instagram. Click the link in my bio. It's right there. And fill it out. Fill it out and actually do it. If you have any questions about it, let me know. But this was a tool that helped me get through some of the grief and despair that I recently was feeling. And Tiffany, I hope this helps you. I hope this helps anybody who's out there. I know that was a long description, but I'm really passionate about how that works and how it worked for me. And so I know it can work for you guys as well. Okay, so another Instagram question is from Kitty Likes Scats. I don't know. Okay, that's a funny handle, but throwing it out there. She says, what is your favorite place to travel? A place that we all should experience. Gosh, I've had the opportunity to travel all over the world. And I love everywhere I go because everywhere is so unique and so different. I went to South Africa many years ago with Tom's Shoes. You know, the shoes, when you buy a pair, it gives a pair to a child in need. I actually went with Tom's Shoes and Element Skateboards, and we gave 20,000 pairs of shoes to the kids in the villages. And it was just amazing. And I think I was so surprised about how gorgeous South Africa was. I had no idea. It was like gorgeous rolling green hills. And even the villages, even some of the poorest villages, were in the most beautiful areas. It truly was amazing. I was thinking, gosh, if this land was in California, you'd be spending millions of dollars to build a house on this. And here you've got these, you know, grass huts and villages and townships in these areas. There's major poverty, but it was so gorgeous. And also, there was so much love. You know, I think some of those areas, like, I know it's not just Africa. There's other areas in the world where there's a lot of struggle and there's a lot of suffering. However, because of that, there's a lot of community and there's a lot of love. And the way that these children came together and supported each other and sang beautiful songs and were so excited for us to show up. I watched kids who did not have shoes on their feet and their feet were completely tore up, take their shoes off that we had just given them and hand them to somebody else who needed them more. I watched these kids do that, and they were just so supportive and loving of each other. And I feel like that's an experience that there's just no other place I've ever traveled to that really gave me that full cultural experience of what it feels like to be in a completely different place and how they dealt with it and how they supported each other to get through it. So I would say that is absolutely one of the most amazing places I've ever traveled to. And also just everything in Africa is wild. Everything in Africa is so different. I feel like it's prehistoric. I remember walking out of, I was staying in this treehouse, and I walked out and right in front of me was the biggest snail I have ever seen in my entire life. You guys, it was like the size of a basketball. That was the size of a snail. And it made me feel like I was in the dinosaur days. It was crazy. And then a monkey stole my memory card out of my camera, out of my room. I watched him do it. It was crazy. I lost my memory card. He put it in his mouth and he ran out the room and swung from the trees and I never found it again. It was just so crazy. And then we were on these safaris and I had major encounters with massive African elephants. Really incredible experience to where, you know, I came back and I'm like, everybody should experience that. It's wild there. Everything's dangerous there. There was even a cactus that was so beautiful. And I remember one of our rangers saying, if you even touch it, it'll give you a heart attack within seconds. And it's like, gosh, everything here is just so alive and scary in ways, but then also it's like the way that life balances itself out. It's scary and full of life at the same time. I loved it. I thought it was just fantastic. I feel like everybody should go to Africa. So the next question is from Alicia Medell, and she asks, have I ever considered osseo integration? So I'm going to explain this to you guys a little bit because it is pretty interesting. So there's different types of prosthetics these days and interfaces. Not everybody can walk comfortably in prosthetic sockets. Sockets are what our leg goes into. That's what we lock into, and that's what fits our leg. So for me, I've got about 10 inches below the knee. Now on the left side, I probably have more like 8 inches, 9 inches below the knee. But normally we have to make these sockets and custom make them so they're perfect, so that not even a millimeter of difference, there can't be even a millimeter problem. Like your socket has to be absolutely perfect. Your entire body weight is standing in it and it has to support you. And if there's one bone that's rubbing, it becomes a big problem. Sometimes you can't even take a step. So if you saw my Insta story last week, I'm making new legs and it is really, really hard. Because it's been really challenging to get my leg to fit right. My left leg, the one with all the surgeries, fits great. The right one that hasn't had all the surgeries is having a hard time. It's just bonier. There's just a lot more kind of complicated areas to work with on that leg. And so there's a new system called osseo integration, which is where they don't do a socket at all. Instead, the ankle, like the metal bar that you see when I'm walking around, you see the metal bar for my ankle and my foot. That metal bar actually gets drilled into your bone and there's no socket. Like, so it's just your leg with this metal bar coming out of it and your foot. And the cool thing about it is that it supports your body weight. Because if you think like bone is how you weight bear. And so that is it. Basically, your body thinks it's bone all the way to the ground, just like your normal leg and foot would be. And so you actually can feel the ground because you feel vibrations up your bone, and you don't have to get sockets made. It completely eliminates the socket fitting process, which to be honest is the most anxiety producing process of being an amputee. It is the hardest part of being an amputee. It really is. I have zero issues of being an amputee, except for the leg fitting process. It can take months to years. It took me probably a good year to get a good leg, maybe a year and a half. And this is constantly going in weekly, trying to figure it out. Once I got it good, I was off for 20 years. I was great. Snowboarding, traveling the world, all of that. But now I'm back in the leg fitting process, and it's really anxiety producing, not having a leg fit good, not really knowing how to make it fit good. So osseo integration completely eliminates the socket process and the fit process, but it also has its own issues, right? Because you've got this bar that's like through the bone of your leg that can cause infection. I think there's been a couple other, issues that can happen. There's risks to everything. For me, I have a kidney transplant. Because I have a kidney transplant, I don't believe that I'm a candidate for osseo integration, because having a kidney transplant, they say it lowers your immune system, even though I have a very supercharged immune system, but I do take immune suppressant medication that keeps your kidney kind of chill and happy. But because of that medication, I don't believe I'm a candidate for osseo integration. So for me, I'm in traditional prosthetic legs and I have to go through the process just like the majority of people do. And I'm always interested in the cutting edge of prosthetic technology. So who knows what will come out in the future, but if there's something amazing that would work for me, then I would definitely be on it. I will say though, I went 20 years in prosthetics doing very, very well. I had no sores or no issues. I really had no issues. I could be on my legs all day, every day for 20 years. I was fine. Now it's a little bit different. It's just a bit of a different process these days for me, getting back on my feet and how much I'm willing to push, and I don't want to injure my legs. And so anyways, I'm getting off subject there a little bit. Boston Battler asked, if I could get my legs back, would I? That's a really good question. I never would have said yes to this, okay? Because my legs have taken me where I'm at today. My legs, meaning my carbon fiber legs, have taken me to amazing places. I am incredibly grateful for my prosthetic legs. I'm incredibly grateful for my life, for my kidney transplant. I am incredibly grateful for everything that's happened to me because really it's happened for me. It's allowed me to live the most incredible life that I would have not lived had I have not lost my legs. Losing my legs forced me to see things differently. It forced me to live differently. It forced me to have a deeper gratitude for life. It forced me to live in the moment and to pursue my dreams and to see the possibilities and to push hard and push through challenge and respect challenge because that's what's created the opportunities of my life and have gotten me to where I'm at today. So, I would not change my situation if I had the opportunity to do so. However, 2 years ago when this major leg injury happened, there were times where I felt like I actually would. Okay, I would. If I could have my leg back right now, I would take it because I was going through so much and to think that I'd be able to put a prosthetic on after all these surgeries and everything I was going through was a really scary thought. So I did not know if I'd be able to wear a prosthetic again. And that scared me. And that made me feel like, yes, my goal is to walk again and to live a healthy life. And if I need my real leg back to do that, then I would take it. But then I had a really interesting opportunity where my surgeon in Boston happens to be a limb transplant surgeon. He's world renowned. He does face transplants and arm transplants. It's unreal. And they're looking for the perfect candidate to be their first leg transplant. And he ran me through all the tests and told me I was the perfect candidate. I was like a unicorn. They couldn't believe I walked in the door. If I wanted real legs again, I could have them. How crazy is that? I can't quite wrap my head around that. And it's not really something that I'm very anxious to jump into because look, I mean, you guys know you have feet. Like feet cause problems. You get older and you get bunions and hammer toes and you have to have foot surgeries and you get plantar fasciitis and all types of crazy foot things. So I don't know if I actually want to trade what I've got for that. However, I need to be able to walk again in my prosthetic. And that's the most important thing. And you know what? I'm there. And I just got to get my right leg fitting good and I will be back. So I hope that answers your question. If I would get my legs back. A question that came in from many of you is, with all I've gone through, have I ever been on antidepressants? And the answer is no. I've never really needed them, to be honest. Recently, I had a very depressing experience with the surgery failing in the femoral artery of my leg. Everything I was fighting for, I kind of lost. And that was the first time I really have felt what I would consider true depression. I've definitely had moments in my life where I've felt not my best self, where I felt bummed out, but I never really stayed there very long. I mean, to be honest, I'd stay there for a very short time, like max a couple hours. I would be in kind of a funk, right? But then I'd always bounce back. I'd always kind of bounce back to an overall positive outlook. And so even when I lost my legs 20 years ago, I was never depressed enough for antidepressants. I mean, I just never really felt that I needed it. And yeah, I mean, this year things have been harder. And I can say I had moments where I considered maybe needing an antidepressant, but then I'd find my way out of it somehow. Like the tool that I gave with the wheel and balancing your life out, that really helped me. That significantly helped me. Movement helps me. Taking care of myself helps me. Eating well helps me. having the wellness part of my life be really priority, that helps me feel better. Not to say that I haven't had tough days, even with those things, but I haven't stayed there quite long enough to feel that I needed antidepressants. So, but you know, everybody is different because I believe there's a lot we can do to help our wellness, but there's also medication and there's a reason why it's out there and it's a reason why it's been created and it helps a lot of people. And if you need to take an antidepressant to be able to balance your mood out and to be able to function, then do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking medication. Look, I take a ton of it because I have a kidney transplant and stuff. So if you need to take medication to be able to move forward more smoothly through life, then do it. But don't forget about the control that you do have. What can you do to balance your life out and feel more in control and feel more uplifted? You know, sometimes it's just the little things. I always say confidence builds on confidence. So sometimes it's just completing, you know, a little goal on your list that suddenly makes you feel better. And then you feel a little bit more confident. And then you do something, you go to the gym for 10 minutes and then you feel better and you feel more confident. And you spend some time with your friends and you feel more confident. And you do these little tiny micro mini steps that help you feel better about yourself and your life. And that's really important to remember whether you're taking, you know, antidepressants or not. So I hope that helps answer your questions. I had a lot of questions come in. I did not answer them all today. I realized my answers are way longer than I anticipated, but I love this Q&A. Let me know if you like it as well. Let me know if you liked this. It's kind of fun because it's like a hodgepodge of different topics versus just my typical, which is like I typically focus on one topic per episode. So let me know if this is something that you liked doing and we'll do it again and I'll answer more of your questions. I know I like this because I feel like it allows us to get to know each other that much more. And I just want to thank you all for being here. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Every time you leave a comment, I read them. I'm so grateful. They totally fill my heart and my spirit and give me purpose for doing this. And I'm so grateful that you're getting something from this podcast. So if you want to leave a comment, that would be fantastic. I'm so grateful. Or if you want to just share this episode or past episodes on your Instagram stories with your friends, it allows more people to find out about the podcast as well. So thank you all so much, and until next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to Bouncing Forward. My mission is to show that no matter what our circumstances, if you want something bad enough, and if you feel it in your heart and your soul, that the possibilities of what we can achieve are endless. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to never miss an episode, and please leave a review to help me help more people bounce forward. I want to leave you with this one question. If your life was a book and you were the author, how would you want your story to go? From this podcast, I hope you walk away seeing that although we can't control the things that happen to us, we can always control the way we react to them. We determine where our story goes from here. It's not about bouncing back to who we once were. It's about bouncing forward and becoming all that we could be.